Thank you so much for listening to this special edition of Family Talk. I'm really glad you've joined us today, as we'll be bringing you another one of our best of broadcasts from 2018. Throughout December, we're going to be highlighting our most listened to shows, along with some of Dr. Dobson's handpicked favorites as well. So sit back and relax and enjoy this one, one of our most popular programs from the past year.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Family Talk, and I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for your host, best-selling author and renowned psychologist, Dr. James Dobson. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's Word is alive and active, sharper than any sword, and can pierce the very heart and mind of someone. On this special broadcast, you will hear the gospel message that Pastor Greg Laurie shared at his Harvest America event this past June in Dallas, Texas. Pastor Laurie is an accomplished author, speaker, evangelist, and senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Southern California. Today, he walks through his own testimony and shares how God radically got a hold of his life. He also explains why Jesus is the only person who can fill the emptiness and purpose in our lives. It's an incredible message that we know will impact you. Here now is the first part of Pastor Greg Laurie's presentation that we've titled, Christ Alone Can Satisfy, on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I want to tell you that the last thing I ever expected to be was a preacher. And some of you that have heard me would say, yeah, we never thought you should be one either. I didn't even plan on becoming a Christian. I thought Christians were crazy people. I thought they were delusional, but one day I just stopped and listened to what they had to say. I'm gonna ask you to set aside your biases and preconceived notions and just listen with your heart a little bit, because I wanna share something that could change your life, that could bring hope into a hopeless life, something that can bring light into darkness, something that can guarantee to you that when you die, and yes, my friend, you will die, you can know with certainty that you will go to heaven. So please listen to what I'm about to say. This is not my message. I didn't make it up. I'm just a delivery boy. I'm just delivering the good news to you tonight at Harvest America. And I'd like to start with a word of prayer, if you would, please. Let's all pray wherever you are. Father, now I pray that you will speak to us. And for any here that have joined us that do not yet know you, help them to see the words that I'm sharing are true. They're your message. They're good news. They're the gospel. So speak to hearts and change lives, we pray now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I had to grow up fast as a kid because, for all practical purposes, I never had a dad, and I really didn't have a mom because she was a raging alcoholic, and she liked to get married and divorced and married and divorced, and she ended up marrying and divorcing 7 times. In between my mother's flings, I was conceived, voila. And so I was raised in this crazy environment. I'd live with my mom, I'd be sent to military school, I'd live with my grandparents, and I began searching as a young kid. I thought, what is the meaning of my life? Because there was no one in my adult world that I respected, no one that I could look up to. And I thought, is this all there is? And by the time I reached the ripe old age of 17, I felt like I was 70, because I'd watched the course my mom's life had taken as a reckless alcoholic. I watched the course my own life was taking as I had gotten into drinking and partying and taking drugs. I was getting high pretty much every day, taking LSD on the weekends. My life was a wreck, and I was going downhill fast. Well, I was in high school, and there was a group of very outspoken Christians. And my friends even warned me, stay away from the Jesus freaks, Greg. And I said, you can count on one thing, Greg Laurie will never become a Jesus freak. Here I am. Over 45 years later. And I guess I'm still a Jesus freak. I'm a believer because Christ changed my life one day. I was walking across my high school campus. I saw the Christians singing their songs about God. And by the way, their music wasn't nearly as good as Christian music is today. And I saw them sing these songs and having a little Bible study, and I thought, these people are so sad. They're so pathetic. I feel so sorry for them. But then as I looked at them, I thought, but I have to admit, they look sort of happy. And they look like they have some kind of peace. And I tried a thought on first size I'd never considered. What if the Christians are right? Well, I quickly dismissed it. That's impossible. There's no way this could be right. But then I tried the thought, and again, what if it's right? What if it's true? What if Christ can really change a life? And then I thought, but he could never change me. I'm too cynical. I'm too hard. But then a guy got up to speak, and I don't remember most of what he said, but one statement hit home with me. He said, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. I looked around at the Christians. I thought, well, I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against Jesus? See, I always respected Jesus. I'd seen all of his movies, and I liked them. But I never really went to church. I knew nothing about it. And then this guy who was speaking says, if you want to become a Christian right now, I want you to walk forward and pray. I thought, on my high school campus, in front of other kids, there's no way I'm going to do that. Next thing I knew, I was up there praying. I didn't plan on it, but it happened. And that's going to happen for some of you right here in this stadium tonight. You know, I think that today in our culture, we think, if only I could be rich and famous, I know I would be happy, for sure. Jim Carrey famously said, quote, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. Look at what happened. Two well-known celebrities took their own lives. Designer Kate Spade and television personality Anthony Bourdain. Kate Spade was a fashion icon, but yet she killed herself by hanging in her beautiful New York home. I guess despite all those positive slogans and bright colors and work displayed, she found herself despondent and hopeless and ultimately willing to take her own life. And right on the heels of this is the suicide of Anthony Bourdain. He won two Emmys, had a very successful show called Parts Unknown. But earlier in his life, Bourdain got heavily into drugs, and he said, in a quote, the food, the long and often stupid and self-destructive search for the next thing, whether it was sex or drugs or some other new sensation. Well, he searched. He traveled the world. He experienced so many things that are out there, and there was an emptiness in him. He even was quoted to say, your body is not a temple. It's an amusement park, so enjoy the ride. Well, it doesn't sound like that ride turned out so well. He tragically took his own life. You know, Anthony Bourdain would sit down and try meals in exotic places with different people, and he would ask them all this question, what makes you happy? And they would give their answers, but apparently he never found that happiness. Last year, Chris Cornell, a frontman for Soundgarden, took his own life. The frontman of a very successful band at the top of his game, on the heels of that, Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, who is a close friend of Chris, also committed suicide on the birthday of his friend by hanging himself. Did you know that suicide rates in America are up 25% right now? 45,000 Americans took their lives last year. Though antidepressant use is up, it doesn't seem to be helping. I watched an expert on television the other night, and he himself had suicidal tendencies and wanted to find some answers, so he traveled the world interviewing people that could help him who were experts on this subject. Here are the conclusions he came up with. He said, we have natural physical needs. We need food, water, shelter. He says, if you take these away, we're in trouble really fast. And then he says, there's equally strong evidence that people have very strong psychological needs. He says, people need to feel they belong. They need to feel that their life has meaning and purpose. They need to feel that people see and value them. And he says, finally, people need to have a future that makes sense. Listen, I want you to know tonight that there is someone who loves you and someone who values you, and he's called Jesus Christ, and he's here with us right now. And he'll give you a future. He'll give you a future worth living. God says, one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you have hope tonight? Or do you find yourself in a hopeless state? Bottom line, fame and wealth, possessions, all the things this world has to offer, drugs, drinking, sex, etc., will not make you happy. Jesus told the story of a man who had a lot of stuff. In fact, he had so much stuff he had to build bigger rooms to put all his stuff in. And then one day, as he was storing up his stuff, God said, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you." And then he left, he died. And you know, when you leave this world, you leave everything. As I've said before, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. Everything is left behind in this life, and then comes eternity. Speaking of a guy who had it all, I just recently did a film and a book on the life of Steve McQueen, iconic actor. And he was called the King of Cool. And McQueen was so successful in his films that he literally had an airplane hangar full of cars and motorcycles and planes and things like that. It was the ultimate man cave for sure. He was a number one movie star in Hollywood. Women threw themselves at Steve McQueen, but he found himself empty and searching. So he disconnected from Hollywood and moved away and found himself in a little community in California called Santa Paula. And there he came into contact with a man who had strong faith in Jesus Christ. And Steve, the number one movie star, found what he was looking for. He didn't find it on a soundstage in Hollywood. He found it in the balcony of a church on a Sunday morning. And many of you are going to find what you're looking for here in this stadium or in a front room or wherever you are tonight. So that was the King of Cool. Now I want to talk to you about another king, not the King of Cool, but the King of Babylon. His name was King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible tells us he was a very wicked man. He came into Israel and took all of the Jewish people captive back to Babylon. He was so cruel that he forced the king of Israel to watch as his own sons were put to death, and then he gouged the king of Israel's eyes out. So this man had a very hard heart, and he was at the very peak of his power. And one night he had a really scary dream. But in his dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw a mighty tree filled with all kinds of birds, and everyone was eating of its fruit, and an angel comes down from heaven and chops down the tree, and all that was left was a stump. So it freaked Nebuchadnezzar out. Like, what does that dream mean? So he had all of these advisors on his payroll, astrologers and astronomers and fortune tellers. So he said, "Bring in your Ouija boards, bring in your crystal balls, bring in the Jumanji game, bring everything in, and someone explain this to me." And none of them could. And he says, "That's it, I'm going to put you all to death." Well, as it turns out, the prophet Daniel was one of King Nebuchadnezzar's advisors. And so they said, "The king's going to kill all of you, because no one can tell him what his dream was." Daniel said, "Let me pray about that." And the Lord showed Daniel the king's dream, and the Lord gave to Daniel the interpretation as well. And he told the king what his dream was and what it meant. And the king acknowledged that came from God. But yet nothing changed in him. In fact, he even got worse. See, one of the easiest places to get a hardened heart, listen to me, is in a church. Because if you hear the message of the gospel and who Jesus is and you don't respond to it, your heart can get harder. The same sun that softens the wax hardens the clay. And there's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't know God. Nebuchadnezzar knew that God was there, but he never put his faith in him, or at least he did not up to this point. I'm not here tonight to talk to you about religion. I'm here tonight to talk to you about a relationship, a friendship with God that you can begin to experience. And Christ can fill that big hole that is in your heart right now. So here's my question. Is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living inside of you right now? Some of you would say, yes. Some of you would say, well, I think so. You think so? Do you think if someone moved into your house in the middle of the night, you would be aware of it? I'm not comparing God to that. My point is, if someone came into your house, you would know. Don't you think if God Almighty, the creator of the universe, has taken residence in your heart, you would know? Here's my point. If you don't know that he lives inside of you, that can change tonight. I want you to leave this place knowing that Jesus Christ is living in your heart and knowing that your sin is forgiven and knowing that you will go to heaven when you die. So, Daniel the prophet, he had to deliver the bad news to the king. He had to tell him the truth. Sometimes people resent being preached to. You know, if you start to talk to someone about Jesus, they'll say, "Hey man, don't preach to me." Well, wait a second. Let's say we were on a plane and we were gonna have to make some kind of a crash landing, and I was gonna tell you where the emergency exits were when we landed. They're here, "Hey, don't preach to me. I think you wanna know where the emergency exits are. I'm trying to warn you and help you so you can get on the road you need to get on." So here's the message. I've come to Texas to give to you tonight. It's called the gospel. Gospel means good news. But before you can fully appreciate the good news, you have to first know the bad news. Here's the bad news. You're a sinner. By the way, when I point one finger at you, we have three pointing back at me. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. There's nothing we can personally do to make this right. And because of our sin, we will face judgment one day. But the good news is God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, on a rescue operation to planet Earth. And Jesus was born in the manger of Bethlehem. And then he lived the perfect life. And then he died the perfect death. And then he rose again from the dead. And he's here with us right now, standing at the door of your life. And he is knocking. And he's saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Before you can appreciate the good news, you have to know the bad news. Daniel went to the king and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, I've got some bad news. That tree in your dream, that's you in the kingdom of Babylon. The tree getting chopped down, that's you getting chopped down. King, you're gonna lose your sanity and you're gonna end up in a field eating grass like a cow. So basically what I'm telling you, king, is you're gonna be moving out of this palace soon. And I know this is an utter shame. No, I'm sorry, I'm bad. Look, I don't wanna milk this thing, but I'm just saying. It's gonna be bad, king. But it's interesting, he tells them what could happen, but then he says in Daniel 4:27, but listen to my advice, king, stop sinning and break from the past. In other words, this doesn't have to happen. God tells us judgment could come in our life, but he says, look, I don't want this. I love you. That's why I put this judgment on my son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago when he died in your place. The title of my message tonight is Life's Most Dangerous Word. What do you think life's most dangerous word is? Diet? No. Exercise? Again, no. Life's most dangerous word is tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow sounds so innocent, but it's life's most dangerous word. Tomorrow is the road that leads to the town called never. Tomorrow is the barred and bolted door that shuts people out of heaven. Tomorrow is the devil's word. And so many have been ripped off by his strategy. What I'm saying is you'll say, well, okay, I hear what you're saying, bald guy from California, but listen, I'll think about this tomorrow. I'll look into this tomorrow. No, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tonight is your night. Don't live another day without Jesus Christ. Because statistics show that 82% of all people that become Christians do so by age 19 or younger. I came to faith at 17. That's 10 years ago. Plus a lot more years. And some of you are older and say, well, is it too late for me? No, it's not too late for you. God will forgive you no matter what you've done, but don't put this off another day. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had a full year to get his act together. a full year to repent. He just blew this off, and one day, sure enough, the Bible says that he was standing on his balcony checking out his awesome kingdom and saying, man, look at Babylon, this incredible place that I have built. And the Bible says, where the words were still in his mouth, a voice came from heaven, and the voice said to King Nebuchadnezzar, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, you're no longer ruler of the kingdom. And he lost his mind, and he went out into the field, and he ate grass like a cow, just like Daniel said he would. But God was gracious to Nebuchadnezzar, and he returned to his senses, and then he believed in the Lord, and he told his entire kingdom. He set it up on social media. It was on his Facebook page, on his Twitter page, on his Instagram page, everywhere. He told everyone, I believe in the Lord now. If God could reach a wicked man like that, surely he can reach and change a person like you right now, tonight. I mentioned that Nebuchadnezzar was like a tree that was chopped down. But then he grew back again, the tree left a stump. They didn't say pull up the stump. Little shoots of growth came out of the stump, and he came back to life. Yeah, I told you my mom was married and divorced 7 times, so she married one guy named Oscar Laurie, who was the best guy she ever married, and he adopted me. And I had the privilege of going back to the East Coast and reconnecting with him when I was older. My mom pulled me away from him when I was a young boy. And I had the privilege also of leading the father who adopted me to Jesus Christ. And he walked with the Lord till the end of his life. He's in heaven now. He's in heaven with my mother, who came to faith 1 month before she died. But my dad, Oscar, told me about our family tree. It goes back to Scotland. And sort of the slogan of our family crest is Rapulala. Rapulala. It's an interesting word. It means it buds afresh. And he said, look, here's our coat of arms, Greg. And here on this coat of arms is a tree stump with a little bit of growth coming back. And the idea of it is life comes back. After it's been chopped down, life comes again. And I thought, that's my life. It was cut down, but life came out through it again. And listen, your life may be cut down, chopped down, no hope given to you. Jesus Christ can change the narrative of your story, and he can change the end of your story tonight, no matter what you've done. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ or is a believer in Jesus, old things are passed away, and behold, everything becomes fresh and new. You don't have to be crippled by your past. You can put it behind you and be changed tonight by Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk in a message given by Pastor Greg Laurie at the Harvest America event in Dallas, Texas this past June. If the words you just heard from Pastor Laurie stirred something inside of you, and you'd like to know more about making Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you can call our offices here in Colorado Springs at 877-732-6825, and one of our representatives will be happy to pray with you or talk you through whatever you're facing in life. Again, our number to call is 877-732-6825. Go to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Pastor Greg Laurie, his ministry, and his next Harvest event. You'll find all that information and much more by visiting drjamesdobson.org and clicking on the broadcast page. A quick reminder for those of you who are Amazon Alexa owners, you can now access our daily broadcast with a simple command. Find out how to listen to Dr. Dobson and Family Talk through your Amazon Alexa when you visit drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Pastor Greg Laurie's gospel presentation right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk and the James Dobson Family Institute. I really hope you had a blessed Christmas. I want to remind you that this is the last week of the year, and through a generous matching grant to our ministry, every dollar you donate right now will be doubled for greater impact. And for any gift you give, you will receive our Best Of broadcast CD collection. Learn more about our ministry and how to support us when you go to drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Who inspires you on matters of faith, family, and culture? If you don't already get it, sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter at drjamesdobson.org. Each month, you're going to receive insight and news that impacts your family and solid advice that you can trust. Whether it's wisdom for parents, tips for building a lasting marriage, or discernment on issues your family may be facing, you're going to find direction, encouragement, and more every month. Visit drjamesdobson.org and sign up for that monthly newsletter today. And again, that's drjamesdobson.org. You'll be glad you did.